Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Hyperion Hub, your meeting place for all things Disney. Now your hosts.
Hello and welcome to the Hyperion Hub, your meeting place for all things Disney. I'm John Alois, joined by Sean Dagenhart.
Hello.
And John Redling Schaefer.
Hi.
We brought the energy tonight. We hope you're energized to hear us. You can follow us.
I hope you're energized to hear us.
You can follow us
Drop
on social
page.
Media. You can email us at podcast@thehyperionhub.com. We would love for you to send us a voice recorded message over the at hyperionhub.com. We may play it on the show. Wherever you're listening to us, please rate and review. It helps more people find the show.
And we want to be helpful.
Yes, and we want to be found.
Some of us are still searching. That's
this
right.
Week, we are taking a look at a bunch of different topics. We're going to start things off with the Haunted Mansion Parlor. It is a new lounge bar inside the Disney Treasure. It looks cozy. It's extremely detailed. The Donald Duck chair is there. The hitchhiking ghosts are behind the bar. Did you all get to see the video that Disney released?
Yes.
No.
Okay. John, what did you think of it?
Well, you have to appreciate, though, these are lounges and bars on a cruise ship, okay? And obviously a Disney video is going to make it look as good as it can, right? It's going to put it in the best positive light. My concern is how small it is. Having been on a couple of different ships, those lounges aren't huge. And as popular as I'm guessing this is going to be the Treasure generally, you know, you're still going to have between 3,800 and 5,000 of your closest friends with you. I'm curious if it's going to be like Trader Sam's at Poly. You're not going to be able to get in.
Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, at Disneyland as well. Themed lounges are very popular on Disney property, especially when you throw something like Pirates of the Caribbean at Magic Kingdom or Haunted Mansion on the Disney. Isn't it a little weird that they didn't have the Haunted Mansion one at Magic Kingdom and Pirates on the cruise ship? I don't know. You'd have that nautical theme. But anyway, it looks cool to me. They do have some specialty drinks. One of them is the Ghoulish Delight, so they like to play.
Goulash? Yeah. Throw that in with your favorite vodka?
I made some the other night. It's delicious.
Do you blend it up and drink it, though?
From what I understand, it might be a little bit interactive, so you might have a 20 to 25 minute show, and you're still allowed to stay in the lounge after the show is done. So they're not going to be kicking people out, but you're right, they're not going to be able to fit too many folks inside.
Yeah, and that sounds like some of the dining experiences where you have the interactive. That's one thing where you have an hour and a half built in for you to be there. I just think it's going to be nightmarish for the first few cruises. And then over time, maybe night five or night six of your 7-night adventure, you might get in. Mm.
I happened to reach out to our Haunted Mansion expert, Jeff Bam from doombuggies.com. And unfortunately, he has motion sickness, so he won't be able to go on. But he is excited to see, hopefully, his wife and
they make things to help that.
And a friend could go and bring back some souvenirs for him. He thought some of the details didn't make him too excited. He mentioned the changing portrait. He thought it looked a little bit cartoony. But I'm excited, and I like the idea of themed places to go on the cruise ships.
Walt Disney Family Museum has an exciting event coming up on Saturday, November 4th. Our friend Jeff Sherman and his cousin Greg will be presenting Growing Up Sherman with the Sons of the Sherman Brothers. They're going to be talking about not only their dad and uncle's careers and what it was like, being a Sherman at that time, but also talk about their process in creating the boys, the Sherman Brothers story, which is a story in and of itself, how that all came to be. We were privileged to hear some of that from Jeff's side when he was up, so I'm sure that'll be an excellent event. It's $25 for members, $40 for non-members. There's going to be opportunities to mix and mingle with both Jeff and Greg, so if you're in the San Francisco area, be sure to check that out.
Jeff's a wonderful storyteller. As you said, he was in Peoria, Illinois last year. We had him on a bunch of episodes. You can find those in the archives. He is a treat to listen to, and obviously his father and his uncle are Disney royalty.
So is this just a Q&A? What's the whole...
I think they're just going to talk about their relationship and growing up, and not only just being the son and nephew of the Sherman brothers, but also the process of them creating their documentary.
Yeah, are they going to show
Disney
it?
Disney Plus.
I hope they show it too.
I would think they would. It doesn't say that they are actually doing airing of it, but
it's
yeah.
So good.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It may just be a talk, which is fine, and then the ability to answer questions from the audience.
Yeah, and I didn't know if maybe there would be a small display of memorabilia or something like that too, because there's stuff between the families and sitting at Disney Archives that would be fantastic to go along with it.
Speaking of the Walt Disney Family Museum, there is an exhibit going on right now through June, and it is in the Diane Disney Miller Exhibition Hall, which is attached to the museum, but right outside. It takes a separate ticket to get in there. It is the Disney Cats and Dogs, the evolution and innovation of Walt Disney Animation Studios, animal-inspired animation and storytelling through the decades, and the massive undertaking involved in bringing their iconic cats and dogs to life on the screen. And I saw the Pinocchio exhibit there, and they do a wonderful job at that location inside the Diane Disney Miller Exhibition Hall. The cost, it's free for members, $15 for adults, $10 for seniors and students with ID, $5 for youth, or $5 per ticket with the purchase of general admission. So again, that's going on through June 2024.
All right, we've done this before, but with all these new rides and new announcements going on around the world, I think it's time for us to revisit something that we don't really get to do, and that is our bucket list. We've been so fortunate to go to the American parks. I want to push on you two to give me your thoughts on what a dream park visit, Disney park, or maybe otherwise, but what is your dream park and why would you want to go there?
I don't think I have a park, but there are some attractions that I would like to visit, the castle in Paris.
Yeah, especially the basement.
Seeing Maleficent in the basement. Pirates.
The castle doesn't have a basement. Isn't that the Alamo from...
Yes, thank you, Pee-wee.
Go ahead, son.
Yeah, thank you for interrupting. The Pirates in Shanghai.
Yes.
Looks absolutely amazing. Would love to see that. And the whole Tokyo Sea...
Oh, yeah, the water.
And the backstory with that and how they're building that out, too. I think that would be amazing.
That's at the top of my list. It's considered by most who have visited to be the greatest theme park in the world, and not just Disney. It's beautiful. As you said, it's on the water. The attractions are innovative, original, creative. Some have nothing to do with Disney intellectual property, like Journey to the Center of the Earth, Sinbad's storybook Voyage, that has 150 animatronics and a song written by Alan Menken, by the way.
Cool.
Both those attractions based on two books that Walt loved. So it has an old Disney feel to it, to me. There are 7 themed lands or ports of call, a hotel connected. There's a walkthrough attraction dedicated to the Society of Explorers and Adventurers. Gondola attractions, Tower of Terror, that has nothing to do with the Twilight Zone. It's its own separate story. Aquatopia, there's an Indiana Jones indoor roller coaster. A Mickey Mouse show that's called Big Band Beat that everyone says is amazing. The elevated electric railway, which is always cool to see. I watch a lot of these videos. And they have plenty of Disney IP too, Toy Story Mania. There's a huge building dedicated to The Little Mermaid with several attractions in it, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. It just feels like a good mix of Disney stories and original attractions.
Well, and again, I think Asia is unique in that you have Shanghai, Tokyo, and Hong Kong, and they're trying to make them all their own separate visits to, you know, obviously they're thousands upon thousands of miles apart. It's not just down the road, But with the new Zootopia Land coming and Frozen and, you know, Hong Kong, its castle, it pays homage to all of the princesses and queens, which, I mean, there's just so many unique features about each. But I have to go back and mention Paris because I'm shocked neither of you mentioned the fact that their Space Mountain now has a Star Wars overlay. Mm. And so you have that option. Autopia is in Paris. I mean, to get that feel of the connection to the past and to the future, I would go to Paris more than anything, not only to ride the original Ratatouille ride, but then to eat in Remy's Bistro, which is at the end of the ride, where you sit on thimbles and other small world options as you are the size of a rat.
And I think there are plans to build out Disney Studios. Many people are not big fans of that park, but Disneyland is beautiful, and especially having the Disneyland Hotel there connected, and of course the castle.
And don't forget that the other parks really have a new focus on drone technology that I think that the American parks really need to get on the wagon with.
And I don't know if that's a legal issue and airspace and all those
FAA
kind of things.
Stuff. That, yeah, good point. Good point. But yeah, because the 30th anniversary show at Disneyland Paris was
amazing.
Insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Marvel show. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I want to talk about something that's making a comeback. Physical media. For years now, vinyl has recaptured the hearts of collectors, and you can add VHS and audio cassette tapes to that list. But Disney's getting in on the act by beginning to sell Blu-rays and DVDs of their shows from Disney+. Currently, exclusively on the Disney Movie Club site, they're selling Marvel's WandaVision for $39.99. It is a Blu-ray DVD set. Star Wars The Mandalorian Complete First Season Steelbook, also a Blu-ray and DVD for the same price. And hopefully this is just the start. I still get Blu-rays. I get movies. I don't really buy TV shows, but there's a quote from Guillermo del Toro. I said it right that time, didn't
Guillermo.
I? Guillermo del Toro.
Bill. That's William.
He put this on social media. Physical copies in the age of streaming are a moral, and essentially he just said moral duty. And with streaming services pulling content, and not only streaming services, but services where you can purchase digital content, you can also lose that content even though you bought it. You don't have a physical copy.
Right.
If they lose the rights or whatever reason, choose not to have it on there. So that's why I still get physical media. And I think, you know, not only because I want to watch it whenever I want to, but I think it's beneficial for folks who worked on those shows to be able to have their work to be shown. And I don't know where we're going with streaming. Eventually, I don't know if they will, all these platforms will combine into one solid place where you can pay one fee. And oh, wait a minute, that's cable. So we'll see if they're going back there. But obviously, streaming services are becoming more and more expensive, and they're fighting with each other, and they're battling and duking it out. And losing content sometimes.
Well, let me ask you this from the technological standpoint. You know, Betamax, VHS, DVDs all go by the wayside. Blu-ray, I mean, at some point, are all these going to be obsolete? I mean, they're having to remake record players. You mentioned that again, and they're coming back out and better than ever. But is this cyclical, and you're going to have all these Blu-rays that you can't play in 10 years? Are you worried about that?
No, I don't think so. I think they'll be around. I don't know if they'll be if they'll be sold in brick and mortar places, but I think you'll be able to purchase.
Yeah, and Netflix opening brick and mortar.
Yeah,
I mean, mm-hmm. It is an interesting. I will say it is an interesting turn that I did not expect. They end their actual DVD deliveries, but yet now they're opening stores.
I will say this, and no offense to any collectors, but I get why you want to collect vinyl. I think it sounds amazing. Collecting VHS and audio cassette tapes, there is a quality that diminishes greatly with those.
Every time you watch it.
Yeah.
It's the puffy cases.
With that media, but anyway, is that what it is?
I'm sure. So, what's your favorite piano, John? John?
Like Steinway or?
The one up in our living room, I guess.
Steinway. Of course, it's the top of the line. It's industry standard. Good job, John.
I would say Steinway.
Steinway.
what a brilliant insight there.
Good job.
Yeah, thank you.
Steinway.
He's going to edit that so he goes first. You know that, right?
Exactly.
Because you said, nice job, John, and he's going to make sure he dubs it with his voice.
Steinway has released a Mickey Mouse limited edition piano.
What?
Have you seen this?
No.
It's called, I don't know if it's the X is a 10 or an X, but it's the Steinway X Disney.
What?
It's a Spirio model. Have you heard of these Spirio models?
No, what's that?
In essence, they're like a digital player piano.
Okay.
You can program them with whatever you want. And so this piano comes loaded with Disney songs.
So it's got its own hard drive.
Yes.
Okay.
And I mean, you can play it like a regular piano, but you can also, you know, if you're having a dinner party,
just put it in
the
player
mode.
Throw
on the Disney playlist and it'll go. There are only 25 of them being made available worldwide.
Very colorful. Very cool.
They are. It says the designer is Elena Samastraro. She said, to design this Steinway piano, I have been inspired by Mickey Mouse's personality, full of joy and energy, and I have infused in it what I feel is a vibrant and powerful design. For the piano keyboard, I used a blue gradient, as for me, the blue color better represents the tones of the sounds and the music. I love Disney because this brand transmits emotions to people, and that's also what I try to do every day in my job. So the sharps and the flats are blue.
Really?
There's some artwork on the piano. It's a white piano with all sorts of different designs of Mickey, and it looks like there might be a Dumbo in there. But only 25. I've not yet seen a price tag. It'll probably go on my Christmas list.
If you have to ask, right?
Right. And normally, I mean, Steinways are
not cheap on their own.
The Spirio that I'm aware of and have played on was a couple $100,000. So I have no idea what this will be, but for 25 of them.
So I do one or two of them find their way at special Disney related areas, or are they all just for sale?
It says, introducing a harmonious blend of timeless artistry and whimsical charm. Crafted with passion and precision, each piano is hand-painted, evoking the enchanting world of Disney through the masterful vision of acclaimed Italian artist Elena Samastraro. This isn't just a musical instrument, it's a limited edition masterpiece with only 25 pianos available worldwide.
So, practical question, does paint influence the sound?
I wouldn't think so.
There's nothing on the inside?
Right,
okay.
But what about the blue keys? Just kidding.
That's how you play the blues.
Oh, gotcha.
The only 25 pianos in the world let you play the blues.
It's interesting that they're all hand-painted.
Are they different, or is it the
same? No, they look the same to me. I've seen some with several different backgrounds. It may be the same piano and just different.
Because you think with 25, you could have little variations on a theme to make yours even more unique. Mm-hmm. You know, of 25.
Not more unique.
Well, I did that for John. No, I did that for John. Thank you for catching it, though.
Let's just say that all of the Mickeys, I don't see a Dumbo here. I just see Mickey, but
there was a blue gray looking Mickey.
Yeah, they're all different colored skin tones.
Where are you guys seeing these pictures?
Steinway.com.
There you go.
Mine, thank you. I am just seeing it on.
I'm watching my co-hosts look at their phones. So yeah, I wanted to see, what does it say right by the brand name?
It says the Mickey Mouse brand with artist signature in it.
They are blue keys. That's
so Mickey all around what would you call this, the body of the piano, and nothing on it. The legs are just pure white, and then underneath the hood, there's Mickey's under there too. So
expressed on the Hyperion Hub do not necessarily reflect.
Did you check the oil on your piano today, or what?
It is interesting. Oh, I mean,
you do have to check the humidifier.
I understand, but don't give him any credit to what he just said. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it's very cool.
No price yet, huh?
Nope, haven't seen it.
Is there one on eBay yet?
It doesn't say when they're being released either. So I might send in for more information.
I think that's a neat idea. We could have an update.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's going to put a wrap on this show. If you have a show idea for us, or you just want to say hi, send us an email at podcast@thehyperionhub.com. Follow us on social media. You can say hi to us there too. Wherever you're listening to us, you can rate and review. It actually helps more people find our show. Until next week.
If they're good reviews.
Didn't we just do this?
Let's always do it. Let's always ask people to review and provide good reviews.
Fact check.
Yeah, until next week.
Hold on a minute. Let's visit this. Uh-oh, he just rolled his eyes.
Go ahead.
So if someone gives us a 1-star review, does that still let more people find us?
I think so, yes. Well, on Apple Podcasts, yes.
Don't you look at the lower reviews first when you're looking up a show?
I refuse. Come on, I was in politics. The more reviews you have,
the more reviews you have. And I am strongly encouraging folks to review us honestly. You know,
and positively.
4.5 or 5.
Either would be fine.
You know what? We're blessed. We have all fives. So anyway,
strong streak of threes coming in.
The more we have, the more people are able to find
us. Have you reviewed our show?
I haven't. No.
As Tara or Evan or Jolie?
I don't think so. Maybe. I don't know. I know Jolie hasn't. Maybe my son did. I think early. I don't think Tara has. I don't remember though. So. Anyway, you can find all those reviews on Apple Podcasts. Until next week, have a great week.
We're glad you could join us. We'd love to hear from you. You can email or send us a recorded audio message at podcast@thehyperionhub.com. Find us on social media on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. The Hyperion Hub is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or its subsidiaries. We'll meet you next time at The Hyperion Hub.